So, as I said, we're on Zion and Bet. We're in the middle of this Gemara, which had started talking about the contradiction between the verses of Meitav and Yashiv. And Meitav made it sound like Meitav was what we've been going with until this point, right? Meitav says it's from the best land, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karma, and that's where we got this concept that that the person who causes damage has to pay back from, or who's responsible for the damage, pays back from what we call idis, from the best type of land. We've spent a long time figuring out sort of various aspects of that, whether it's Meitav Shel Nizak or Meitav Shel Mazik, right? Whether that's the best of the person who has caused the damage or been damaged, that we've spent time on. And now the Gemara was figuring out this sort of apparent contradiction between, as we said, Meitav was the verse that we've been focusing on, but then we also seem to have this other verse of Yashiv, right, which actually made it sound like you can just sort of give back anything in a sense, right? Anything, and the Brisa had explained that Yashiv implies even subin, some sort of very, very low level grain, right? Some very simple barley, you know, it's not very again, any old thing effectively. So we had this contradiction between the two. We first suggested that the difference between the two was what the Talmud termed as midato versus ba'al korcho, which basically means is sort of voluntarily paying back the amount versus being forced to by a bet din. So the Gemara rejected that as an option. Then what we spent time last week was with a sort of a bit of a tangent, trying to figure out maybe it's linked to a very, very specific law in Masechet Peah about a person having, again, without going into all of the details again, but a person having effectively land which can be sold at different prices at different times of the year, right? Season, its value was affected by the season, and we tried to sort of spend time fitting that into this contradiction. The bottom line is that we also rejected that. We did spend time going through various aspects of that, but in the end, we rejected that. And that's really where we are at the moment. So as I said, we had the contradiction, we suggested two different answers, and I think today we're going to suggest two other answers. And that will take us to sort of the end of this section of the Gemara and then move on from there. So as I said, that's a very, very brief recap. Any questions or comments before we get into that, or just make sure that, again, that was my recap. That's the way I've understood it. If everyone everyone gets that in similar fashion. So, yes? Okay, with me so far? All right, so Meitav versus Yashiv. Meitav implying that it has to pay back from the best land. Yashiv implying that you can pay back from anything. What is the resolution to these two different these two different verses, or these two different halachot, really, right? These two different expectations? So we are, I would say, more or less in the middle of Zion Amud Bet, and that 7b, about. Okay, Mikol Malkom Kasha. So it's really, if you look where the lines get a little bit wider, so at the narrow lines, we're in the second from the bottom narrow line. Okay, the second from the bottom narrow line in the Gemara, middle of that line, the Gemara continues, Mikol Malkom Kasha. So nevertheless, we still have, so as I said, we've taken this whole long tangent talking about that sort of seasonal land. And now, say Mikol Malkom Kasha. Okay, bottom line is we still have this contradiction, we still have this difference between the two verses, Meitav and Yashiv. So how are we going to solve that? Omer Rabba. So now Rabba comes along with his suggestion. Kol de Yohiv lei mimeitav lei savlei. Vahom meitav sode huksiv, right? So Rabba's suggestion is basically, whatever you're giving him, right, it must be the best. So in a sense, if you choose to give your subin, right, as we said before, if you're choosing to give this this low-level barley, you know, this not so great barley, you have to make sure it's the best of that bunch. So you have a massive storehouse full of not such of sort of basic barley grain. Then you have to make sure that you're giving the best of that barley grain. So when the Torah says meitav, he says meitav means that it has to be the best of that type of thing, right? You could be giving rubbish, right? You could be giving anything, but as long as once you're giving that particular thing, then you have to make sure it's the best of that thing. He suggests that that's what metav means. The Gemara asks a very simple question on that, right? Gahom metav sadehu. The Torah doesn't say metav, the best. It says metav sadehu, the best of your land, right? So it must be that we're talking about land. So again, we reject that very quickly, very quick suggestion, suggested and done away with. And therefore we move on to another one. Elaki asar of Papa, Verav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, Mibay Rav. When Rav Papa and Rav Huna came, the son of Rav Yeshua came, Mibay Rav, from this, right from this house of Rav, or Bet Midrash of Rav, right from the Beis Midrash, this is how they explained it. Hershuha, Kol Mili Meitavu. So they say that anything that is what we call in what is known in halacha as metaltalin, i.e., any sort of movable object, right? In halacha, there are a number of ways that we can subdivide properties and ownerships and things like that. But one of them is we distinguish between what we call metaltalin and karka, land. And metaltalin means effectively sort of movable objects, right? Other type of things that a person can own. And metaltalin, they say, counts as metav. So yes, metav sadehu has to be the best of your land, but of equivalent value to very good land is metaltalin. Is these, you know, objects that you can move around effectively. So therefore the subin is actually considered to be metav ha'aretz. So we said you can pay with anything. So yes, anything as long as it's movable. Once we're talking about land, then it has to be from the best land. But anything that's movable is considered to be from the best land. Why is that? So Gemara goes on to explain. Kol mili meitav hu de'il lo mizdaben hocha mizdaben b'masach risi. Because if you can't sell it here, you think it's worth a certain amount, and actually you're having difficulty selling it over here, you just go to the next town. Mizdaben b'masach risi. You have to go and just sell it in a sense somewhere else, and then again it has that similar value. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit of a limit on this, right? You can't just say, "Oh, you have to go to, you know, to Timbuktu in order to sell this." But and actually, I'll come back to that in a moment. But in principle, something which is movable is considered to be very good, and therefore it's different to land. For Masakris, Labar Me'ara, however, land obviously doesn't fall into this category. The Leisav Le Me'etav, right? Because again. That has to be given from the best land. Ki heichi telepos ala zvina, right? In a sense, that's where you have to sell it, right? You can't move it elsewhere. You can't move this property to somewhere else and sell it somewhere else. Where it is where it is. Its value is in a sense more set in that regard, and therefore you have to be given from the best land. But metaltalin you can give from anything. So I did briefly read. I don't know. You have to ask sort of a bet then how they apply this in principle, but I did note one interesting case, and after this, you know, happy to take comments and questions. One interesting case where I don't know if it was true or not, but a lot of these Sfarim write very, very interesting cases. You're never quite sure if they actually happen the way they present them or not. But what they said is that a fellow had caused damage, whatever, through a car accident or something along those lines. I think, you know, had hit a parked car or something, so obviously had to pay back the damage, and the damage was worth a certain amount. And the person happened to be a soap salesman, so they had a sort of factory full of little bars of soap. So they said they wanted to pay back, right, little bars of soap. So they wanted to pay back with thousand mini bars of soap or something. That was how they were going to pay back. So that was a big discussion. The person said, yes, but in order for me to sell that, said, you have all the contacts in the industry, you have a thing. So if I were just to walk into the shop across the road and say, I have 1,000 mini bars of soap to sell you, they're either not going to take it, or if they take it, then they're going to take it for a much, much reduced rate, rather than just sort of to take it off my hands. Okay, if you're going to do me a deal, then you'll do it. So I believe that what was decided, or at least what was suggested, was that, yes, if you can literally go into the sort of shop across the road, if it is very, very easy to do, and get a certain price for it and get an amount for it, then that would be okay. Then yes, you can do that. But if you're already going to have to travel further, so again, maybe that's what this is linked to, the fact that land obviously cannot be moved, so then it's more similar to land. But if you technically could go and sell it off very, very easily, and if it would be a lower price, let's say it is worth I don't know, let's say, for example, you know, each bar of soap is worth 50p or something, right? So let's say yes, that would be 50p if you've got contacts in the industry and that's what you usually sell it for. But if you're just selling it to a place across the road, they'll end up paying you about 10p for each one. So that is the price that it would be fixed at. That is the sort of the value that it would be determined at when paying this person back. And that was how that Betton did that. So again, I don't know whether it happened, but assuming it happened, again, you get these 1,000 bars of soap, go into my wallet, say, you take it off my hands, and you get the money, and hopefully that sorts it all out. So as I said, interesting case linked to what we talked about, but the conclusion of this Gemara is that the resolution between these two ideas is that Meitav and Yashiv, yes, you have to pay back from the best land, but if you have a metaltalin, if you have something which is movable, if you have objects which are sold easily, you know, sold very, very easily, then they are considered to be made of. So they are considered to be the best type of land, and in that case, you could pay back with those objects. Okay.
Question, Rabbi.
Yes.
If you've got property that has value, if you can't sell it exactly in one place, but you have value to sell it somewhere else, or has value somewhere else, surely you're taking the risk on that by the time you get to another market, the price may have moved against you adversely, or it may have deteriorated en route, or something like that. How would that be dealt with?
Yeah, again, I think it's got to be dealt with realistically. But you're talking about travel. We're talking about traveling. We're not talking about taking something, you know, miles and miles and miles away. We're talking about what it would go for in this place right now. That seems to be the value that it's based on. Not so. Yeah, in a sense, it's always a risk. And you could, you know, and if the person becomes distracted, for example, you know, they say this is what it's actually worth, and then they don't end up selling it for that amount because they, you know, they don't end up doing it at that time. Then yeah, that's true. But I think the point is that there is no. Things don't fluctuate, you know, 5 minutes, you know, from or whatever it is, a week, let's say, the value of soap, as an example, to take our example from before, the value of soap doesn't sort of drop within a week or something. So I would imagine that those sorts of prices are relatively set, and that's relatively straightforward to value. Okay, so let's come. So also on that note, actually, I did see another interesting point as follows. Okay, so here's charging this. Yes. So we've been talking about Meitav, right? We've been talking about the fact you have to pay back from the best type of land. We've just said that objects that are easily sort of sellable in the local area or movable and would be, you know, their value in a sense is retained more readily than the land that obviously is, you know, is much more dependent on where it is. That's what you have to pay back from, right? From this Meitav, from this best. And I've always assumed personally that that's because if you cause damage to somebody, that actually, you know, they should be getting the best deal possible, right? That in a sense, when you're causing damage to someone, they should be getting what's best. So very interestingly, the Stipler actually says that you can look at this slightly differently. And again, it does have slight differences in halakha as follows. It might be more linked to the next Gemara, but he says as follows. He says, Pasul Lachgar as follows. Ha'im zechiv shahatara mochaeva says, Amazik l'shalim ha'karka me'ula mishum shezechusa shal nizak. Is it because of this nizak, because of the person who has had damage caused to them, and they, therefore, would most want the best land, right? And therefore, they take from the idis, shehim ha'shubachas me'abenonis. But let's say they don't want it. Let's say they don't want the Idis. Then they could take from a slightly different land, right? Or he says as follows. He says it's not that it's because of the nizak, because of the damage, but you are in a sense trying to choose something which is closer to money, right? Which is closer to money. And ideally, the best way to pay back is through money. And therefore, something which, in a sense, is easy to sell, easy to get this value for very, very readily. That is what you're looking for. This is a different Stipler, actually. So this is another interesting one. This isn't the one I was expecting to find, but this is also an interesting one. So what he says is that in a sense, the difference between these two is Kashanizik Chofetz Ligvos Mi Beinanus Imidis Im Chiyuv Meitav Hu Liten Lo Zakarka Shehu Chofetz is the point here to do what is best, what is nicest, damaged party wants, right? What is best for them. Or is the point here, is the point to make it closer to money, something which is easy to sort of transfer into financial terms, then Meitav, in a sense, should be from Idis, even if the damaged party wants something different. And again, you could, so he doesn't say this over here, but one could also suggest that it's almost punitive on the part of the mazik, of the person who caused the damage as well. It's almost in a sense it's a punitive element to this payment. Obviously, the amount is the same, as we've said throughout, the amount is always going to be the same. But the point is that the person who has done the damage should feel that more. And therefore, even if in a sense it may suit the nizak better, right? But actually, there's a sort of a punitive element here to the mazik, and therefore you could still suggest that actually the best type of land would still go to the nizak. So as I said, that's really something which is not discussed in the Gemara at all. Comes in the later, as a later discussion, later authorities. Could be an interesting topic, maybe a side topic to research. But it does obviously link to this point. It's obviously based on these Gemaras, right? Based on this discussion here as to whether Meitav, when we're talking about Meitav Sadehi, when we're talking about the best type of land, this Gemara makes clear that doesn't necessarily mean literally the best type of land, because there can be equivalents to the best type of land. I think we've alluded to this before, but this is really where this is the source for it. Zion Amidbet, that metaltalin, that movable objects, things which are sold more easily, actually do have that halachic equivalent, that status as the best type of land, and therefore the payments can come from there as well. So that's really, in a sense, a sort of semi, a comma, really, in what we've been talking about. That's a soft line underneath that discussion. We're going to move on. We're still talking about Idis Beinon, Idis Zvaros. We're still talking about paying back the damage, and not talking about the actual not talking about what we call the chiyuv nazikin, the sort of the liability, which we will return to very soon in the next, let's say, daf and a half or so, or the next two daf. We will return to the actual liability, but in terms of the paying back, that's still what we're talking about. But we have at least solved that contradiction between Meitav and Yoshev, between the expectation to pay back from the best type of land, and yet elsewhere we see that actually it's more flexible than just the best type of land. Okay, we'll continue from the two dots, unless you have any questions before we go on. Okay, so we're now at the end of the third wide line. Ba'omine Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Okay. Ba'omine Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. So he asks as follows. Sorry, Me'ikronia, right? From Ikronia. That's where he's from. Merabi Abba. Keshehin Shamin. When we are doing this valuation, right? When we're actually figuring out the value of this land, B'shelo Hein Shamin, or B'shel Olam Hein Shamin. Are we doing this in relation to his own land, right? Or are you of the damager, the person who's caused the damage? Or are we doing B'shel Olam based on this sort of a more objective value? It sounds like is it subjective or is it objective? Or B'shel Olam Hein Shamin. So Aliba de Rabbi Yishma. So the Gemara responds and says, no, I've skipped a line. B'shel Olam Hein Shamin, or B'shel Olam Hein Shamin. Sorry. Aliba de Rabbi Yishma. Okay, as follows. This is actually based on the opinion of Rishma. Lo tiboy lecha de omar bidaniza shaminum, right? Says don't be bothered with the question of whether it's talking about the niza, the damaged party. Ki tiboy lecha, what are we actually unclear about? What are we not sure about? Aliba de Rabbi Kiva de omar bidamazik shaminum. So we had all the way back on Zion Amud Aleph, all the way back on Zion, well, and actually Vav Amud Bet as well, I think is where it all started off. We had this debate between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, and we talked about, right, Bidan Nizak versus Bidan Mazik. He says, we're only talking now in the world of Rabbi Kiva, right? So we're only talking in the world of Rabbi Kiva. Why? Because Rabbi Kiva is the one who said, the Omar Bidamazik Shemin, and that we're talking about when you have land that belongs, when you have this Idis Bin and this Zibur, as we're talking about from the point of view of the Mazik, of the person who's caused the damage. My Meitav Sadehu, Omar Rahmana, Lemiyute Denizak. Right? When we say Meitav Sadehu, Omar Rahmana, what exactly does that mean? Lemiyute Denizak means to exclude, right? The word meto is to exclude the property of the nizak, of the damaged party. Odilma lemiyute de alma nami. Or the question over here is it to exclude the rest of the world's land as well? I.e., when Rabbi Kiva says that meta sadehu, the best of his land, means the best of the mazik's land, the best of the damager's land. Is that as opposed to the nizak, as opposed to the damaged party, or is that as opposed to everyone else? I.e., does that mean we are subjectively determining this value of this land based on the damager, or are we saying no? It's not. It's not totally subjective. It's a little bit in comparison to the nizak. So in comparison to not in comparison to the Nizak, in comparison to the Mazak, in comparison to what he has on his own. Right, everybody, so do we follow the difference between those two? Actually, we should have a good example that would help us. So let's say, for example, you have something which you have land which is considered to be Yiddish by the by more objective standards, right? The rest of the world would consider this to be Yiddish, but actually when we take it in amongst your own fields, you happen to have a lot of good properties amongst your own fields. All of your fields are pretty good, and therefore this actually is not one of your better fields. You personally have better fields than this one. Yes, it's true that the rest of the world may look at this and say this is very, very impressive, this is very, very good quality property, but actually amongst your fields, this might be a slightly lower level. There are better fields or better properties amongst your portfolio. So there, that is really what Rabbi Kiva is talking about. Or we say, no, we're talking about the lemiyute de nizak. We're actually just excluding over here the value of the nizak's field, i.e., that in a sense it's irrelevant, right? What the rest of the world may have or may not have. But when we're determining it is ben and it's the burris, the point is that it has to be from your best type of land, in a sense, as opposed to from the nizak's best type of land. Even if he has better land, you still don't have to pay back based on his land, but you pay back based on your own Idis type land, your own top level property. Again, and that could even match up, as long as, you know, that could even match up with what the rest of the world has, even if you personally happen to have better properties. You personally happen to have better properties. So as I said, we're only talking within that world of Rabbi Akiva. So that's the presentation of this question according to Begumar. So let me go to the Almanam. Omale. So they respond as follows. Rahmana Omar Meitav Sadehu Va'at Amrat B'shel Olam Hein Shamin. Right. So So again, the Torah had used the phrase "Meitav Sodehu," right? That was saying that it has to be from his best land, and Rabbi Kiva had said specifically that that is referring to the mazik, that is referring to the damager. Va'at omrat, right? Now you're saying b'shal olam hein shamin, right? That actually you've sort of turned that around, and you're saying that even though you do have better properties, right? As long as this is considered to be the best land in the, you know, in general terms, then that's good enough. Then that's good enough. So that's the Gemara's response. And he says that's no good. Right, when Rabbi Kim says, but the mazik shaminon, when he says based on the mazik, that means you have to give of your best land, at least according to Rabbi Kiva, that it's based on you personally. And if you have better properties, then those are the ones that you have to be paying. Gemara asks a question based on this answer of Rabbi Abba, based on this response. As follows. Ein lo ela idus, right? The person only has idus, right? You only have very, very good land. Kulom govin mina idus. Now this person, we're talking about someone who has a lot of debts to pay, lots of different areas. Not only have they caused damage, but they actually have debts to pay for money that they've borrowed. And they may have, as we talked about before, subas isha, right, to divorce payments, right? So they have that to pay as well. And usually, yes, it's true that it would all come from different land. This person only has idis, so they only have the best type of idis, the best type of land, excuse me. Kulom govim in idis, then obviously everyone takes from that best type of land. That is where the payments are going to come from. Kulom govim in idis. Beinonis, kulom govim beinonis. So if he only has intermediate land, middle type of land, then everyone takes from that type of land. Ziboris, kulom govim ziboris. We only have this lower level land that everyone takes from that type of land, right? Again, even though usually they would take from different types of land, in this case, that's all you have. So you only have that type of land. Obviously, you have a lot of it because you're paying back all these different debts with it. But the point is, you have to, they all take from that type of land. And Rashi clarifies that, we can find the Rashi. Obviously, it doesn't explain over here. But anyway, the point is that what exactly is the Gemara telling us here, right? This seems very obvious. I think the point the Gemara is making here is that, you can't go and say, right, once the Bet Din said this is what you have to pay back, this is the amount that you have to pay back, and that person only has the best type of land, you can't say, oh, wait, I'm going to go now and buy, sell off these properties, buy some sort of worse ones, and that's what I'm going to do. The point is, everyone takes from what you have at that moment. You don't wait and come back and get other ones. So that's what the Gemara is saying, but this is just the introduction, okay? So if that's all you have, then everyone, no matter why you're paying back, no matter why you owe the money, takes from that type, whether it's Idus, whether it's Beinonis, whether it's Ziboris, top, middle, or bottom. Now we get into the more complicated part. Ziboris, kulam, govim, Ziboris. So now we're three lines from the end of the Gemara, second word on the line. Hoyulo Idis, Beinonis, the Ziboris. If you have all three different types, so you have different levels, then Nizikin Minoidis, damages take from the Idis, Baal Chov the Beinonis, right? As we've said before, this was, we spoke about this in the earlier Gemara, that the standard is that the Baal Chov, one who borrows money, right, takes from the middle land, Uksuvas Isha, the Ziboris, and again, divorce payments come from the lowest level. Idis ubeinanis, let's say you take from the best, sorry, let's say you have only the best and the middle. Nezikin mino, so now we get a bit more complicated, right? Idis ubeinanis, you have the top, we'll call them 1, 2, and 3, okay? 1 being the best, 2 being the middle, and 3 being the worst. So you only have levels 1 and 2. Nezikin beidis, obviously the damages take from number 1. Baal chovuk suvasisha, ubeinanis, the creditors, right, someone who you borrowed money from, and divorce payments take from level two, because that's all you have. Beinonis and Zibaros, you have level two and three. Then Nazikin Ubal Chov for Beinonis. Again, still relatively obvious until this point. Nazikin Ubal Chov takes from level two, damages and loan payments takes from level two. Uksuvas Isha for Zibaros, and divorce payments comes from level three. Okay, now I think so far so simple. Now we turn on over to Ches Amud Aleph. 8a. Now it's a bit more. Now this is the part where at least we get into the question. You have levels one and three, right? Now you have level one and three. So Nazikin, but this I understand. Yes, that the damage payments obviously come from level one because that's what they should be coming from. Ubaal chovuk suvas isha b'ziboris. Now the loan payments and the divorce payments all come from level three. Now what about the Baal Chov, right? Why are the loan payments coming from level three? Maybe they should be bumped up. They really should be in the middle, but they've been pushed down instead of bumped up. So he says, no, that's what they are. They're bumped down instead of bumped up. And as I said, that's the din of the Gemara. We can maybe come back to discuss why that is in a little bit. But now the Gemara is going to come back to its actual question, because all of that was just introduction. What the Gemara often does when it's asking a question like this is it will take a long quote, so it will sort of take you through the entire Brisa or Mishnah or whatever else, wherever else this teaching comes from. So it's gone through this entire thing, but now it concludes. Katani miha. So now we're on the second line. Katani miha. Okay, so I taught you all of that. What's my point here? What is the actual question that I'm coming to? Metzia beinonis v'ziboris nizikin ubalcho bebeinonis, right? So in the middle case where you have beinonis v'ziboris, you have levels two and three, we said that nizikin ubalcho bebeinonis, that actually the damages and the loan payments both come from level two, uksuvas isha v'ziboris, and the divorce payments come from level three, from this lowest level. V'i omra b'shelohin shomen. Now we're coming to our question. If you are telling me that but Shalohin showing that everything is subjective, that it's based on the value of his own land, right? That is, the question is not what the land is worth objectively, whether it's considered to be in these top levels, but what subjectively, is this his best land or not? Then Ta'ase Beinonis Shalom Ke'idis. Then we don't call it level two, then we should call it level one, because that's his best land. His best land is the level one type of land. V'yidche ba'alfo eitzel ziboris. And in that case, the loan payments should be dropped down to a different type, or to the lowest level, to the lowest level of what he's got. Okay, I'll try and say that differently, and then we'll stop for questions. Okay, just to make sure that we've understood it. So the whole long, the long and the short of that thing is basically laying out lots of different scenarios where a fellow has different levels of his land. And that the bottom line question is that if we're saying that the quality of his land, that our determination of the quality of his land, of whether it's level one, two, or three, is based on his own properties, then you can never have a situation which the Bryce had suggested, you can never have a situation where a person owns level two and three, because automatically level two becomes level one in a sense, right? Level two becomes level one. And yet we said that there does seem to be this middle, right? So if we can have a situation where a person can own only levels two and three, then it makes it sound like there is a more objective standard rather than a subjective standard. I hope that was a little bit clearer than that final explanation. We'll pause for questions, otherwise, we'll clarify it again. Yes, Andy.
Rabbi, who decides which is level one, two, or three here?
One second. Andy was waiting, so I'm gonna get Andy, and then we'll come back. Sorry. We'll come back to John.
Just very quickly, we're talking here about the creditor takes from the inferior quality or intermediate level. What if he actually loaned against security of the superior level land?
General with all of these things, with almost all certainly with borrowing and things like that, is that if you make a deal, if you make that deal, then the deal stands in a sense. So that's what's agreed. We're talking about cases where there's no, this is sort of the standard. You can choose to do whatever you want. In a sense, meaning you can say to someone, I don't know, I expect to be paid back only in Glenfiddich, for example, and then that's what they have to pay you back. Like that's the, if that was the deal that was made. Yes, George.
Is the quality of land decided when you do the deal, or who decides whether it's level one, two, or three? How is that organized, unless I've missed something here?
Well, part of it is going to be the simplest answer is that if we end up deciding that it's subjective, then it's easy because you just go, you base it on the properties that this person has. So based on what they have, there'll be different qualities. You're saying, let's say it's a more objective standard. How do you decide where the cutoffs are in a sense? What counts as top, middle, or bottom level, in a sense? That's a good question. I mean, I think, again, in most of these cases, we're going to be talking about where the question is, what difference does it make, right? And the only real time it's going to make a major difference is if we're talking about taking multiple debts at the same time, right, from different places, in a sense. So you're taking from multiple things, so you've done damage and you owe money and you're getting divorced at the same time. So all of those in a sense, that's where it causes that complication.
Or is it that you simply, when you do a deal or whatever it is you do, you specify at that time which land it involves or which land it doesn't involve?
So that's I think, more what Andrew was saying. If you specify at the time of the deal, then that's what stands. We're talking about a case where it wasn't stipulated at the time of the deal, and now, that in a sense, the case has been brought. So there's no question that the value is based on the time of the payment is owed rather than when the deal was done. But the question of how we're deciding, I mean, I guess that's, I'm not a property valuator. I guess that you'd have to talk to experts and bring in the people who are going to determine the value of these sorts of things. But that's not something which is going to be set in stone, in a sense. That's going to be based on the way the market is in that place and in that time, right? So what properties are worth and what properties are, how properties are valued in London in 2021 are very different to how it was done in Bovell 2000 years ago, as an example, right? So that actual valuation has to be done based on the experts of the time. You have to bring in outside experts, I guess, to do that. But has everyone got this question of the Gemara, right? The Gemara's basic question is that if we're saying, right, Rabbi Abba had said very, very clearly, we started off with the question. Okay, we started off with the question, B'shalohin shamin, b'shal olam hishamin. Are we talking about more subjective value, right? That when we're talking about levels one, two, and three, we're saying it's subjective based on what this person has, or is it a little bit more objective? And Rabbi Abba responded unequivocally, right, that we're talking about b'shel olam henshamin. Sorry, v'atam rabbi b'shel olam henshamin. Right, so he says, no, he said very clearly that b'shel olam henshamin, that it must be subjective, right, because it's mitav sodehu. He said that it's that Rabbi Kiva's, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that we're basing it on this pasuk, on the fact that the pasuk says his land. And therefore, we're talking about the Damazic Sheminon, that's based on the value of the Mazik's land, and therefore it must be subjective. It's going to be, the levels are going to be determined by his, by the quality of his different land. So the Gemara asked the question that if that's the case, we seem to have a scenario where a person can own level two and level three, right? You can own the middle property, a middle level, and a lower level. But if we're saying it's all subjective, then that's impossible, right? Logically, that is impossible, because if a person only owns two levels of land, then one is top and one is bottom. You can only have a middle if there is something above it, right? In a sense, if there is a level above it. If we're saying it's If we're saying it's objective, then you can have something above it. I just don't own it at the moment. If we're saying it's subjective, then whatever I own is either best or worst, unless I own three. But in this case, I only own two. I only own two. There can be no middle of two, right? There can be no middle of two. And therefore, that's the question of the Gemara. You understand that? We've got the question? All right. So, Hocha b'mayaskina. So Gemara responds as follows. This is what it must mean, right? He did have one. At the time, this actually does link to George's point. I'm going to have to go back on myself a little bit, actually, because Rashi says that he had this best type of land and he sold it. Rashi says, that you sold it after the loan was made. That actually this mid-level land, so I apologize, George, I'll take it back. That it sounds like, actually, again, I'm working through this as well as we go, that it sounds like actually that it was, in a sense, earmarked, explicitly, but the point is that when the loan was made, you had three levels of land. When the loan was made, you had three levels of land, and therefore that the loan payment should be expected to be coming back from that level two. And yes, it's true that you've now sold your level one. But in a sense, that level two was already earmarked. So even though now, subjectively, we will say that actually this level two is just now your level one because you only have a top and a bottom. But since it was earmarked, since it was already, it was the middle level at the time of the loan, then actually that is the one that person claiming the repayment is taking back. Okay, so Gugun Chahosel Idis and Mochra, Bechina and Rochista. One second, let's just finish. Bechina and Rochista, Gugun Chahosel Idis and Mochra. Again, we have a similar Brisa that Rochista actually says that exact thing. Okay, we'll start from Hachinami in a moment. Yes, who had a question? So,
but we're not saying, are we, that was earmarked? If it was earmarked, he couldn't have sold it.
He sold level one.
Yeah, he sold level one. So unless there was a charge on level one, the creditor shouldn't make any difference where he gets his loan payment from.
The point is like this. You have level one, two, three, right? If you are a creditor, you can only claim back from level two. If a person only has two different levels, then you automatically claim back from the lower one. Right, you don't get to claim back from the higher one because you only claim back from the middle one when there's three levels. So now you come to claim and he only has two levels. So he says, you should take the bottom one. So you say, no. But that top one was actually the middle one at the time when the loan was made. And therefore that middle one is, even though now it's the top one, at the time of the loan, it was the middle one. And therefore that's the one that you're claiming from. So that's what the Gemara is responding, right? That you now have level two and three. Yes, it's still subjective, still going with this idea that actually the levels, the what determines whether this is level one, two, and three is the Mazik's own properties, is your own properties. But we're calling this level two because you did have a level one, a higher level at the time of the loan was made, and therefore this level two is considered to be the level two that was earmarked for your payment later on. I mean, when we say earmarked, I'm not sure. Okay, well, I have to look it up. I don't think that means that you literally cannot sell it. I don't believe. I think if you sell it, then you just have to pay back financially or a different way. I don't think that means, unless it's explicitly said in the, I'm not sure that means that. But the point is that that when coming to pay back, that at least the determination of the levels goes back to that time, right? So the determination of what's considered top, middle, and bottom goes back to the time of the loan.
If, for example, you agreed to give the guy to pay the guy back superior land, and you've sold the superior land, so you're down to level two, can you increase the amount of land you're giving back to make up for the fact that you're now giving him a lower quality piece of land?
But again, the amount in a sense is the same amount. We're talking about in terms of dollar value, but all of them are the same. We're just saying one is preferable to the other one. I don't think you can. So it's hard to put a price on that. How would you decide? With all these things, if you come to an agreement and the person's happy with that, then that's fine. But they're probably not going to say, yeah, sure, I'll pay you back extra, because they're not really liable to. Your question is whether, let's say you've sold it, whether you have to go and buy it back to give it. I don't know. That the Gemara doesn't say. We're not talking about that over here. So as I said, I don't want to talk out of turn. I already tried that once and didn't work out very well. So we'll have to see if the Gemara talks about you actually have sold the land that they're trying to claim back from. We're saying you've sold the land which affected this level, right? But actually, if you sell the land which they should be taken from, I'm not sure what the Gemara would say about it.
Rabbi, is it not implied here that there's no restriction on selling the superior land?
Like to say so, but I'm more cautious now. I'm more cautious now. I think so. But as I said, I don't want to. I think the Gemara probably will end up talking about it at a certain point.
But again,
if we look at the land, we've got level one, level two, level three. So if you have to pay me from level one, that's the superior land. That'll give me, let's say when I sell it, I'll get one unit of currency. If I've then got to go to a second level of land, I probably need a bit more land to give me one unit of currency, which was what you owed me. And if it's level three land, it'll be even more land to give me one unit of currency.
So that's for sure true. Sorry, so maybe that we talked. I think the Gemara talked about that earlier. That yes, you'd have to pay from. You're right.
That was my question.
Sort of square meter amount. Yes, will be more. But the point is, the dollar value, in a sense, is the same with all of them.
Yeah.
I thought George's question was: let's say you should up the dollar value if you're now no longer able to.
No, I was saying. What I'm trying to say is what Irving said, which is that if you give a guy lower level land, you have to increase the area to make up for the fact that.
Oh, sorry, that's for sure true. But the point is, that is not enough. Even that may not be enough, right? If you have better land, you have to be paying back from that best land. So yes, it's true you can increase the area in order to make up for it. But the point is that the determination here is not by area. The determination is by amount. Or by value, I should say, right? By dollar.
I'm getting a bit confused here then, because in damages, I understand the concept of land, the land or whatever. If you're talking about debt owned, you're just repaying it effectively with movable property. What you're doing is you're paying back the sum, and how that's raised by the creditor, what difference does it make to the debtor? I don't care whether you sell your best land, your intermediate land, or your worst land.
You don't sell it, you give it over. You transfer the rights to it. We're not talking about when you sell it. If you sell it in order to give the money, then that's giving cash. That's a different thing. We're talking about where you're giving the land as the repayment. So you're actually giving the land over. So in that case, there's an expectation that it has to be of a certain level, there are rules as to what type of land it has to be.
I thought the loan was against the security of the land rather. Otherwise, doesn't that become a purchase? If you're getting land back for a debt, that's a purchase.
But we've already discussed
it. You call it a purchase, but it's a different... No.
It's a purchase thing.
We've already agreed that the first obligation is to pay it back in cash. And which land it comes out of is only if you can't pay it back in cash. So there's no obligation to sell land to raise the cash. You've either got to give him land if you haven't got the cash. That's how I understood it.
But then you can raise the cash from anywhere, no?
You're not raising the cash. You're just giving over the land.
You haven't got it. You can't sell your land.
You can sell your land, but you're not required to, I think.
But if you could sell the land, you would pay him. But you don't have to. You can then come and claim the land.
Might have the money still, anyway.
The question is whether you're required to do that. And I think the point is that you can give land as the repayment. So once you can give land as the repayment, the question is what type of land be. And in that case, there are limitations as to, again, depending on whether it's loan payment, depending on whether it's as part of divorce payments, depending on whether it's damages or whatever else it may be, right? Then that there are sort of rules as to where that can come from, right? You're not raising, as I said, the what is coming back in the end is not money. The point is something else is coming back other than money, but in this case, land. So,
but you've got a question coming up now, which is something slightly different. There have been damages, and you've got lands 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Sold off your land 1. So I'm entitled to damages. I can only go against land 2. But there's another monetary creditor who would also go against land 2, but there's not enough land.
One second.
Does that mean that the creditor, the cash creditor, now goes to quality land 3?
Okay. Oh, we haven't got to that yet. That's a good question. I think that's going to be... Yeah, okay, let's leave that question. Okay, well, that's a separate interesting question as to what order, in a sense, do they get paid out, right? Who, in a sense, gets to claim them first, right? Who gets to claim them first? That's a different one, okay? So now the question is... So until now, the question has been, that now you've got a loan and you have to pay back that loan, and the Gemara had said that you have to pay back that from what we have called level 2, even though you don't seem to have a level 1. And the Gemara had explained that actually the reason why we're calling this level 2 is because you had a level 1 when the loan was taken out. And therefore, even though you've sold off that level 1, this level 2 retains its status as level 2. And therefore, that's what you have to pay back this loan with. Now, Hocha Nami Mistabas. So now we're about eight lines down from the top of Chetz Amud Aleph. Hocha Nami, we have to find a good place to stop. I just realized the time. Okay, Hocha Nami Mistabra. This makes a lot of sense. Why? Because we have a different brisa which says as follows: Beinonis v'ziboris. Let's say you have level 2 and 3, right? You have middle and bottom. Beinonizikin v'beinonis balcha v'ksubasisha v'ziboris. So there it says actually different things. Where it says it differently to how we just said it there, it says that it's only the nezikin, it's only the damages which are paid back from the middle level. Bal chov, because of this issue, the loans and divorce payments are paid back from ziboris, from this lower level. Why? Kashin ha'adoti seems to be a contradiction between these two. Elo lav, rather shmami no kan shahoysa lo ziboris, sorry, kan shahoysa lo idisu mochra, the resolution must be exactly what we've said until now, which is that we're talking about a case where you had idis and you sold it off, you had this level 1 and you sold it off. And the other case is referring to where you didn't have this idis, right, and sold it off. Now I'm assuming that the... the Gemara continues. But Iboy Seima, or you could suggest Idi, both of them are talking about Shaloho Isa Idis Mochra Velo Kasha. And there's no problem. Why? Hosh Hodash Shabi Benanis Shalo, okay, Idis the Alma, Vikan the Lo Shabi Benanis Shalo, Idis the Alma. All right, you know what? We're going to get into separate parts. Let's pause that. We're going to pause over there in this, it's really in the middle of a question, that's the truth. It's not a great place to stop. But I'm conscious that we're going to get into a little bit more, because the Gemara is actually suggesting three different types of answers, and I think each one's going to require us to sort of delve into a little bit more. So because it's 3:00, we're going to pause there. We'll come back with this question. But just to recap very briefly what we at least did understand, which was that we do seem to be working with the assumption at the moment that b'shelohein shomim, that we are subjectively determining the levels of these properties, i.e. it's based on what the damager had, or has. And let's say in the case of loans, we said that it was determined from the time when the loan was paid, perhaps. Again, we'll see if anyone talks about this, but perhaps that means that when we're talking about damages, we're going to go from the time when the damage was done, right? I.e., rather than when the court case was brought. That would be my working assumption for now. And perhaps you'd say the same thing again when it comes to custodial, when it comes to divorce payments as well. Although that potentially is a much, much longer time span. So, but that's also something we have to figure out. Okay. Any final questions or comments before we wrap up?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
No worries. We're getting a little bit close to Pesach, but no, there's no reason. Okay, yeah, 2 weeks' time. So we'll be back on the 15th.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
And a reminder, if anyone wants to join us this evening, we're going to be talking about lab grown meat.